Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Thank you for taking time to join us as we take time to learn from God's Word together. The message you are about to hear comes from the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene in Cape Elizabeth, Maine. Listen to more sermons or learn more about the church at our website, capenazarene.org.
I'm going to read to you today from Mark chapter 1, verses 9 to 15. It says, "At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased.' And at once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. And after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. 'The time has come,' he said. 'The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news.'" I love this kind of story and this picture that happens in Mark. It's just a few short verses. And Matthew and Luke both expound upon it so much more. They tell us a little bit more about his temptation. They tell us a little bit more about leading up to his baptism. But there is, even though in this abbreviated description, there's a lot packed into it. It's kind of like one of Alex's favorite candies. When we ever go out and get a candy, he loves to get those warheads, those sour warheads. You put them in, it makes your face pucker up. So much sourness packed into one little candy. And yet there is indeed so much truth and so much going on packed into what it is, this little story, this abbreviated story, it seems. Jesus, from Nazareth in Galilee, from this little town, he goes and sees John. And John, of course, as we've been hearing ever since Advent season, is the one kind of ushering in, preparing people, getting people ready to receive Jesus into their life. John the Baptist functions in many ways as for them, what was for them a modern day Elijah. He came before Jesus, dressed, appeared like him, spoke as one who was a prophet of God, and told everyone about the Messiah who was coming. In fact, just last week, when we were talking about Jesus, we talked about how Elijah and Moses had met with Jesus, and Jesus had told the people, "You've already seen Elijah." John the Baptist is ushering in the promises of God. But one of the things I love about this story is that this is the one spot in Scripture where the early church fathers' confession about who God is all shows up in one picture. You see, as we talk about, if we testify in a Christian church about who God is, we have this way of saying God is one substance, one something, one God, but manifest, seen, experienced, but also three persons. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in this passage of Scripture, what we have is God revealing himself in both the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all in one scene. It is the Spirit that is descending upon Jesus. Jesus, who has talked to us about the kingdom of God, and God the Father speaking out from heaven, talking about Jesus as his Son. There is this glorious picture of everything the early church fathers have said in this one little scene. And as I said last week, or at least during Ash Wednesday service, that the early church used this season of Lent to prepare believers for baptism. And so how fitting that we begin this season talking about the baptism of Jesus. That this was a season in which those who were getting ready for baptism would prepare their hearts with fasting, with prayer, in preparation for celebrating indeed the resurrection. And those who had been baptized but had lapsed in the faith, had found themselves caught up in sin and had found themselves kind of separating from the church, could use this period of time to say, "I want to rejoin, I want to be a part of the church. I want to be able to celebrate indeed the promise of the resurrection for me, for my family, for all of us." And so this would be a time of fasting and repentance. This would be a time of remembering who Jesus was in prayer and sacrifice. And after that period of preparation, fasting, and yearning, and waiting, that they would indeed have fulfilled expectations and receive grace and testify about that on Easter Sunday. And so what we find indeed that is in times of waiting for God's grace, that there is indeed a calling to commit ourselves to Him. That as we await for the promises of God, as we await for God's grace to manifest itself in our life, that we are called to commit ourselves to Him, and often to make sacrifices, and to turn to Him again and again in prayer. And this is what is happening in this story. Jesus, who is the Messiah and is going to move forward with the plan of God, ushering in the kingdom of God, is baptized into that mission, but also finds himself waiting in the wilderness, tried and tempted, in anticipation of what God is going to do in his life and in his ministry. And it's in times of that kind of commitment we can trust that God will come, that God will reveal himself to us. And the people of God have been waiting and wondering, when is God going to speak again? When is God going to really reveal himself to us? In fact, one of the prayers of the prophets in Isaiah chapter 64 talks about this in just a fascinating way, and I want to read this for you. It comes from Isaiah 64, and it's just the first five verses. I just want to share what he says here. I think his words speak out not only about kind of the yearning that the people of God had, but also our yearning at times as well. And he cries out, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you. As when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil, come down to make your name known to your enemies. Cause the nations to quake before you. For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains trembled before you. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. You come to help, to the help of those who gladly do right, who remember your ways." Isaiah is crying out to God, with the people of God, crying out, God, in the face of everything that is happening, in the face of the trials and the turmoils that our nation faces, that we face, God, we just wish that you would break out and move in a mighty way, that you would tear apart the heavens and come. If the heavens are kind of the holding place for God, if the heavens are where God lives and where he dwells, his prayer is that he would burst forth from that dwelling to live and be with them, burst forth like a balloon that just cannot contain the energy and the air within. And the prayer is that in the same way, God would burst forth and come out into their world. And what happens in this passage of Scripture, I think what the wording is in many ways a fulfillment of this very prayer. For it says that when Jesus comes out of the water, is baptized into this promise of the Messiah that God has laid out for his people, that John the Baptist has been testifying to. When he is baptized, they said they see the heavens torn open, and the very prayer, the very yearning of everything that they would be is revealed here, that indeed the heavens are torn and the Spirit of God flows out and comes and rests on Jesus. And how often is it that indeed that we have prayed, called out, cried out to God, God, would you just reveal yourself? God, would you just break out and move in a mighty way in our world, in my life, in the church, in our country? Heal our ails. Solve the problems, the issues that are happening. Help us overcome that which needs to be overcome. And this passage of Scripture says to us, he does this precisely in the person of Jesus Christ. That the cries that God would reveal himself, the cries that indeed God would be with us, happens in Jesus Christ. That that the heavens are opened and the Spirit of God descends on him. And we see that God's promise to be with us is found in Jesus Christ. And this is why we put our faith in him and none other. When the heavens are rended and the Spirit lights on Jesus, it shows us that our hope and our calls for assistance are indeed found in Jesus Christ. There'll be another image of this as well. Another image as we looking forward to Easter that we will see. When the very place where God was understood to dwell among the people, the Holy of Holies in the temple, which was separated from the rest of the temple with a curtain, and it is torn apart, indicating that indeed the Spirit of God is let loose into the world, and that we too get to be recipients of the power and the presence of His Spirit in our life. So Jesus is anointed with the very presence of God for His ministry and where He is going to be going. That we find that Jesus isn't just set apart for humanity, but He dwells in its full experience. For when He goes into the wilderness, He is entering into the very trials, the very tribulations, the very temptations. He is entering into the very experiences that all of us have had. The way that they abbreviate it is by saying He was there 40 days in a wilderness, just like God's people were 40 years in a wilderness. It's kind of like this poetic way of saying He enters into the same trials, the same experiences we have. To speak about Jesus is to speak about God knowing who we are and where we've been. That Jesus is not just for us a representation to understand how God is, how God operates. He is all of that. That we begin to learn and see that God is indeed a God of love, a God of care, even for the least among us. That God is so much more than we could imagine. It's just someone who dwells up above, but someone who wants to live with us. But Jesus is also the perfect representation of who we can be. And who we should be as well. You see, in the wilderness, the common question that God asked to Israel is whether or not they would be faithful. Because God was always faithful to them while they were in that wilderness. And I think that what we find in here is that Jesus shows indeed what it is like for humanity to be faithful. And this is important because it means then Jesus is always interceding on our behalf, as the Scriptures say. Jesus sits at the right hand of God the Father and speaks on our behalf as one who understands who we are, where we've been, and the trials that we've had, and yet offers forgiveness and offers redemption. And so He is sent into the wilderness with the Holy Spirit. And typically when we think of what it's like to be in a wilderness, what it's like for us to kind of be separated from civilization, we think of being alone. We think of isolation. Isolation is a word I know we don't like too much over the last year. Isolation, that wilderness. And I was talking with another pastor, or sharing words with a pastor that I served with on another district. And he had some great words of wisdom. And he said, "Be careful not to mistake isolation for solitude. Solitude is when you are alone with God and your own soul. Solitude is when it's you and it's God. Isolation is when you are alone with your own fantasies about what would make your life better, about what you think you need in that moment. Solitude is engagement with reality in view of God's grace. Isolation is escape from reality in the view of the tempter's twisting of truth and thinking, I just want to figure out what I can do for myself, what I need to do. And I think what Jesus is doing in this passage, what we see from Him, from His relationship with God, from the angels that are tending Him while He's there, that He is always in the presence of God's grace. He turns moments that seem like it would just be moments of isolation, of just, I just got to figure out a way to kind of get through this. And He is faithful to God and is looking for how God indeed is with Him and will guide Him, and indeed He will be able to live in full appreciation and full engagement with the God of this world. And I just found myself thinking as I heard those words from a colleague of mine, and I thought to myself, I like that distinction. To think that those moments that seem to be isolating moments can indeed be moments of solitude, of growing closer with God, and aligning our lives and our spirits and our souls with the will of God. Of taking those kinds of moments and seeing how it is that we might find our lives and our hearts given over to God. It says in this passage that Jesus is attended by the angels while in the wilderness. His purpose is defined. His purpose is validated while he's in that wilderness. And so too, God takes care of us. That the story of God is that we are inheritors of the promise of Jesus. We are included in the family of God. That is part of what Jesus promises to his disciples. It's part of what's happening when the curtain is rent in two after the resurrection, that we see that everything that Jesus experiences from God is shared with all of creation. And so when Jesus says in the last verses to the people, the time has come, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent, believe the good news, he is saying that what God has promised for us is at hand, that we can now receive God's forgiveness, that we can now receive the power of God's Spirit against sin in our world, that we can now know that there is a God who has a future and a place and a direction for us. And so I find myself thinking that the experience of Jesus in this story can be very similar to the experience that we can have as well. To know that in times of wilderness, that in times of temptation, that nonetheless, God will be with us and attend us and help us. I mean, I'm reminded of a speaker I heard who after a great moment feeling close to God, a kind of revival moment, he warned us. He warned us who were listening. He said, I want you to know that when you leave from this place, you're going to face great temptation. He said, because Satan likes to tempt after great victory because he doesn't want you to relish and just sit in that moment. He doesn't want you to live on that high mountaintop moment. And in this story, that's precisely what we see. Jesus is baptized. The Spirit of God descends upon him. Everything should be great moving forward. But instead, he's tempted and he's tried for 40 days in the wilderness. And so the same thing happens with us. And the speaker said, so guard yourself and stay close to God, that you can fight against that which is going to come against you. That those moments that seem like wilderness don't have to be moments where we say, oh, I can't bear to be around fellow Christians, or I can't bear to show my face around certain people. That in our shame, we retreat to isolationism. But instead, we say, by the grace of God, I'm going to draw close to God and see how others around can help not only lift me up, but I can help lift them up as well. And so indeed, the story of Jesus here is our story. There is a passage of Scripture that Jesus shares with his disciples. It's in the Gospel of Matthew, so I'm kind of jumping books here. In the 25th chapter, he tells a story. He tells a story at the end about people going before God, and God looking at them and speaking with them about how they lived their lives on earth. And he says to those who had not loved their neighbor, those who had not taken care of those in need, those who had not helped others, he calls them goats. And he pushes them aside. Now, goat doesn't mean what it means to the kids today. It does not mean greatest of all time. Goat for him had a completely different designation. When I think goat, I think of the goat my grandfather had. An old billy goat with this huge, huge like chin beard that ran along the ground and picked up all the dirt and all the burrs and all the urine and everything, all the mess, this stinky old billy goat. And that's what Jesus says about him. You are this stinky old billy goat. And he pushes them aside. But he says to the others, those who had taken care of, those who had loved, those who had visited him when in prison, those who had fed him when he was hungry, those who took care of the needs, those who loved those around them as God has extended love to us. He says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And those are words I long to hear. And those are words that, as I think through them, are words not very much, not that altogether different than the words spoken to Jesus at his baptism when he says, "With you I am well pleased." And to think that the words that God speaks to Jesus, words that definitely indicate that he has a special relationship with God, are words that will be echoed to those who live faithfully before him. And he'll say to us, "With you I am well pleased. Come and enter into your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you." That indeed, the promise and the experience of Jesus here, of the Spirit of God and the voice of God speaking to him, can indeed be our experience as well. That the Spirit of God will work with us and guide us through the wilderness. And indeed, the Father will offer a judgment that says, "I'm pleased. I'm pleased." And in that story, of course, the people say, "Well, when did we do this?" They don't recognize it, but God does. That's a great picture I think I have of God. I think a lot of times when we think of God, when we worry about the judgment, we worry about all of our shortcomings. And I wonder if we might see in the grace of God that because Jesus has been there with us and Jesus knows what it's like and he's interceding for us, that maybe the grace of God is strong enough if we would believe and trust in him and try our best to follow him, that maybe we might find ourselves surprised. And so this day, my hope is that we would be able to say, "Okay, I want to follow in this journey. I want to take this step." Jesus, who was baptized into an identity, into this faith to follow what God is going to do in prescribing him as the Messiah, our Savior. That in the same way, those of us who have been baptized, or those of us who have wondered about being baptized, would be able to say, "Okay, I'm going to trust and follow in this God. And we're going to see where he's going to take us. Because I know his Spirit is with us through the wilderness. And I know that there is a God who is watching, and a God who has a great word of grace and hope and promise for each and every one of us." Jesus' words to us, who want to have that Spirit with them, who want to hear that echo of God's praise. He just says, "Repent and believe the good news." Let us today trust and believe in the God who says, "I'm with you, and I am with you for all eternity, and you can be a part of the family of God." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray right now for each one hearing this story, hearing this message of good news, whether here, right now, present in this sanctuary, at home watching, whether they are watching live now or going to watch later on this video. Lord, my prayer right now is that indeed we would hear this promise and know that if we repent and believe, that you have a good word for us. You have good news for us. And that good news is wrapped up in your Son, Jesus Christ, who lived with us, who dwelled with us, who walked with us, said, "I know how hard it is to live and face temptation in this world." And his look upon us is not condemnation. John 3:17 says he did not come to condemn the world, but to save the world. But Lord, he looks at us with grace. And to think that that grace extends to you, Heavenly Father, where you might look and you might say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Heavenly Father, it is my prayer today that you would help us live in anticipation of that word. And that today, Lord, we might say, where we have fallen short, Lord, please forgive. And may your Spirit be with us and guide us in the wildernesses that we might face. And so, Heavenly Father, as we get ready to pray the Lord's Prayer together, I pray indeed that it would be a kind of prayer for repentance. That when we ask for our debts to be forgiven, that Lord, indeed, we would know exactly what it is that we are lifting up to you and sure trust and hope that your grace extends even to that debt. In Jesus' name. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Thank you for joining us for this sermon podcast. We hope that the message has inspired you to draw closer to God each day. May God bless you as you serve Him today.